Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 24. We find here a question that the disciples asked our Lord Jesus Christ. And that question is, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the sign of thy coming? You know, I like to play Captain Obvious sometimes. I don't know if you know what that means, but basically it means that you ask a question that's just obvious. Or you say something that's just obvious. For example, I used to tell my kids, I'm older now than I've ever been before. So that's just obvious. Well, I want to tell you something this morning that is also obvious. We're closer now to the coming of Jesus than we've ever been before. And you can say, thank you, Captain Obvious. But it's true. Jesus is coming back. And it's getting closer every day. We don't know when. I can't tell you the day or the hour. But I know it's closer now than it was. It's just obvious. So in our text today, the disciples are asking Jesus for a sign. And let's pick it up in Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's pretty interesting. That's the way he starts his answer out. Be careful that nobody deceives you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Excuse me. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. So they came and they asked Jesus for a sign. And Jesus gave them nine. I think that's nine. It was when I went to school, back before they had all this new math. He gave them nine signs. Nine signs. He said there will be false messiahs, wars and rumors of wars, famine and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places, anti-Semitism, false prophets, increase of iniquity, and apostasy. And then last of all, universal preaching, universal spread of the gospel. Nine signs of his coming. So on a day when many people are asking what's going on in our world, in a day when many people are asking, is this the end? We find what Jesus said about the end. And he gave us 9 signs of his return. He gave these signs to his disciples in answer to their question about a sign. So this is not just us making up something and looking through and trying to pick things out and trying to get a piece here, a piece there. This is a solid thought that Jesus presented to his disciples about signs of his coming. First of all, he warned not to be deceived. And I'll give you the same warning today because there are many deceivers. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, that tells us that people are going to try to deceive us. Why would he warn us if nobody was going to try to deceive us? No, they are going to try to deceive us, and Jesus warned us to be careful of it. And he even said that an increase in these deceivers would be a sign of his coming. Now, where does it say that? Well, it says that in verse 8, but you have to dig it a little bit. You have to study it a little bit in order to get that. Look at verse 8. In the King James Version, it talks about the beginning of sorrows. But I want to look at least 4 other translations. I want us to look at the New Living Translation. It says, but all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. He says all of these signs are birth pains. Birth pains. And then he says in the ESV, it translates it like this. It says, all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. You see that word sorrows in the King James Version? Is a word that is often translated birth pains. In the New American Standard Bible, which I think is probably, well, I'll just say it's one of my favorite translations in a word-for-word format. The New American Standard Bible says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. There again, we find that word birth pain. The NIV puts it like this. All these are the beginning of birth pains. So this word that the King James Version translates sorrows, these other translations use the word birth pains. Now, I was going to tell you that, but I'd like to just get up here and say, in the Greek it says, I like for you to be able to go to your Bible, find you a copy of a Bible that I tell you about, a translation, look it up on the internet or whatever, and find out for yourself if I'm making this up or if other people translate this the same way that I would translate it. Birth pains. What do we know about birth pains? They hurt. Yeah. Okay, they keep coming stronger, and
closer together.
They keep coming closer together.
And then at the end, there's a relief.
Sounds like a good OB nurse over there. They keep coming stronger and more intense. And so if these are birth pains, as Jesus calls them in verse 8, then these things are going to be stronger as the time approaches, and they're going to be more in number as the time approaches. There's going to be more deceivers and stronger deceivers, stronger deception, as the time approaches, and all of the other things are going to be likewise more intense and more in number. So let's look at the first one. False messiahs. False messiahs. Never before in the history of the world has there been so much deception practiced by those who claim to be the saviors of civilization. I cannot believe there are so many people who are falling for false messiahs. I just am astounded that certain people would believe in such things. I see all of these movie stars who are following this, telekinetics? They're following this cult. And this cult leader has set himself up as a Christ, as a Messiah. And these are supposed to be smart people. And yet they're following a false Christ. I see politicians like Mitt Romney, who follows Joseph Smith, who set himself up as a false Messiah in the Mormon Church. There is strong deception in our world today. It's not just people from the past, there are people in the present. I mean, in your lifetime, you witnessed what happened at Waco. And what was the guy's name? David Koresh? You've witnessed these things in our lifetime. We've seen time after time people who have proclaimed themselves to be the Messiah. And I counted them up the other day, and I counted at least 52 people in the last century who led over 1,000 at each to believe that they were the Messiah. So many followers. And then there are those that don't have such a great following, but they make a great impact. Like Charles Manson. He set himself up as the Messiah. And he only had a few followers, but folks, he did some real damage. And Jesus said that the number of false messiahs and the intensity of false messiahs would increase as the days approached. About 12 years ago, I was watching television, and I sincerely wanted to throw up because they were calling the President of the United States, Barack Obama, a Messiah. Folks, I cannot believe the way that our nation and people who are supposed to be Christian people have fallen in behind these leaders who want to call themselves spiritual leaders. There's an undetermined number of men and women who claim deity. There is a woman in China who claims to be the Messiah. And she has churches in all of the major cities here in Colorado. There was even one over here off of 7th Street here in Sterling, Colorado. And they send their people around door to door to gather new followers. And the head of that group is a female Messiah. It's unbelievable the way people are duped. Next, Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. This is the second sign. And I don't think that needs much comment. If you watch the news and read the newspapers, you know There are plenty of wars and rumors of wars in our world today. Something like 2/3 of the world is in bondage of either declared or undeclared wars. The world is facing the greatest military crisis in all of its history today. I mean, World War II was an open war. What we face today is a sort of a silent war, where we have millions of people who are enslaved in China simply because of their religion. And I'm not talking Christians, I'm talking Muslim religion, but they are enslaved for their religion. And that ought not be. With the modern implements of war that we have today, the nuclear wars that we hope never happen, even the fear of it, even the thought of it, the rumors of it are more intense than ever. The nations that are not actually in conflict are driven by fear and doubt. Now, I don't know which news you watch, but the news that I watch, they're telling me that our current president is so wishy-washy that the Chinese and the Russians are going to misread him and we're going to have a war over it. Wars and rumors of wars. I don't know whether to believe them or not, but it's definitely a rumor of a war. And it's a terrible rumor, an intense rumor. It seems like the entire world is somehow in an armed camp today. You're either for this side or this side. It's even dividing our nation. We have one party that is strongly opposed to communism, and another party that is strongly in favor of socialism and communism. And folks, the two don't mix very well. And that struggle is throughout our world. What will be the outcome of all of this? Jesus is coming back. This is the sign. The next sign that Jesus mentions is famines and pestilence. Famines and pestilence. You know, back in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, I thought that there would never be another plague. I thought the days of plagues were over. I remember reading back in school about the bubonic plague and the black plague and all those people that had died, and I thought, well, those days are past. We have modern medicine now. We can deal with it. Well, let me tell you, we need Jesus more than modern medicine, because COVID is a pestilence and it's a plague and it's on us. It's on us. It's on our nation. It's on our city. And it even has hit people in our church. COVID. It's a pestilence. And Jesus said pestilences and famines would be more in number and more intense as the time approaches. Folks, you know what you do about a pestilence? You better pray. That's what you better do. Because Jesus is the only real healer. Doctors can treat medicine. I mean, can treat illness. But only Jesus can heal it. And you better pray. In third world countries, millions of people have died from COVID, from starvation that was caused by COVID. You see, pestilence and famine tend to go together. They tend to cause each other at times. Famine can cause pestilence, and pestilence can cause famine. And Jesus said they would be increased in number and increased in intensity as the time approaches. Next, he mentions earthquakes in divers places. You know what divers means? It means a number of places. Not just one place, but many. Earthquakes in many places. Now, we didn't have the seismograph back when Jesus said this. And so we didn't know much about earthquakes back then. And I preached this once and talked about the increase in the number of earthquakes, and somebody said, oh, that's just because we didn't have seismographs back then to know that all of these earthquakes were happening. Well, folks, even since the seismograph was created, we've seen an increase in the number and the intensity of these earthquakes. And we've seen earthquakes in places where nobody ever saw them before. Earthquakes. Jesus said they'll increase in number and they'll increase in intensity as the time approaches. Number five, anti-Semitism. Notice Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and his disciples are Jews. And he says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Your nation is going to be hated above all nations for my name's sake. That's what he said. Is that true today? Do you think Israel might have the most hated nation status? I mean, with all the terrorism going in our world, you would think that somebody might be upset at some place like Iran. You'd think that somebody might be upset at some place like Lebanon. You'd think that somebody might be upset at some place like Afghanistan and Al-Qaeda. But no. No. They're upset when the President of the United States recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Everything goes haywire. He can't even get reelected because he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That's when they really decided we got to get rid of this guy. Anti-Semitism. We remember World War II, 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust? Can you fathom that? 6 million Jews slaughtered for nothing except their race. Ethnic cleansing. 6 million Jews killed simply because they were Jews. I think they probably have most hated nation status. And Jesus said that would be a sign of his return, that the hatred would be more intense and it would happen more often. Next, number six, he said there will be false prophets. False prophets. And these have to be differentiated from false messiahs, because Jesus differentiated them in his text. He mentions false messiahs as one class, and he mentions false prophets as another class. And he says, false prophets would increase in number and intensity as the time approaches. What do false prophets do? Well, they give a false message, don't they? And what is the most important message in all of the Bible? And in all of Christianity, what is the most important message? It is the message of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is the message that is going to be most likely corrupted by false prophets? The message of the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin. Today, we have preachers all over television and all over the radio who do not recognize the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood of Christ or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They tell us that if we keep the golden rule and if we love our neighbor, then we can get to heaven. Now, those are good things. But those are just like fig leaves in the Garden of Eden. Do you think the fig leaves actually fooled God and made Adam and Eve look holy and look innocent? Do you think God was fooled by any of that? No, he wasn't. And do you think that a false gospel of salvation by works is going to fool God? No, it will not. Not any better than the fig leaves did. And so when false prophets teach a false gospel, which they do today, the more of them that there are, the more you should start with keeping your eye on the eastern sky. Because Jesus is coming back. The sign of the times, according to Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." If they don't recognize Jesus, they're a false prophet. They're a false prophet. Number seven, Jesus mentioned the increase of iniquity. I don't think we have to discuss that much if you read the newspapers and watch TV. There's definitely an increase of iniquity. things that we wouldn't have thought of ever seeing on television 20, 30 years ago. It's all over the screen today. And it's only getting worse. And then he mentions apostasy. He doesn't really use that word, but other places mention the same thing and call it apostasy. Let me give you an example. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The Apostle Peter said, "Let no one in any way deceive you for the second coming. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first." Jesus said this is a sign of his coming. Paul said Jesus won't come back until there's an apostasy. Now, this is kind of chasing a rabbit for a second, but let me just ask you this question. How can there be once saved, always saved, and apostasy? Do those two things somehow mix? Can there be a falling away if once saved, always saved is true? No. No, once saved, always saved is not true. If you hold on to Jesus, he holds on to you. But if you let go of Jesus for some reason, and I'm not talking about just having him fall out of your pocket, it doesn't happen that way. But if you choose to no longer believe in Jesus, there's no such thing as a born-again unbeliever. And people will fall away before he comes. I don't want you to be one of those people. I have preachers everywhere of all denominations telling me that America is growing cold. That our nation is spiritually becoming lukewarm. And what did Jesus say he would do to the lukewarm? Spew it out of his mouth. America has begun to cool off. America is becoming more and more lax in their belief and in their trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indifference is creeping over God's people. Preaching doesn't seem to touch people anymore. And our Lord spoke of these things 1900 years ago and said that it would be a sign of his return. We should not be surprised. I like to preach a positive message, so I like to end on this last one. Number 9 is there will be a universal spread of the gospel. I like to preach the truth more than I do a positive message. If it comes down to, will I preach a positive message or will I preach the truth, I'll preach the truth. As much as I like to preach positive messages, the truth is more important to me. And I'm glad that the truth here is a positive message. Because Jesus speaks of the last sign in these words, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now this will be accomplished after the rapture. This will be after the rapture. The gospel will be preached to all nations after the church is caught up. So how does that happen? Well, we have 144,000 Jews who love Jesus, who show up on the scene right after we show up in heaven. And you know what those guys are going to do? What happens when somebody loves Jesus? They share him. And I think there are going to be 144,000 Billy Grahams. And they're going to preach the gospel throughout the world. And they're going to spread the gospel through every method possible. And the Bible says that every Jew will be saved during that time, and 10 Gentiles for every Jew will be saved. There's going to be a mighty revival. And Jesus said, that is a sign of his coming. Jesus comes back for the church, and that requires no signs. That is imminent. That could come at any time. But Jesus also comes back with the church, and that's 7 years later. And these are the signs of that return. Are you catching what I'm saying? These are the signs of his coming back with the church. And as we look around and we see all of these things already happening, and we know that it's 7 years minimum from the rapture of the church, and all of these things are already ready to be fulfilled, and yet there's a 7-year gap that has to be filled up. And if that 7-year gap, the end of it, is already close, then this rapture, this catching up of the church, is incredibly close. Now, I've shared this with you before, but I'll share it again. When you're watching a football game and you see all of the players come out on the field and they're warming up, and then they begin to line up, you know the game is about to start. Likewise, when you see all of the characters of the end times that are spoken of in our Bible, and all 9 of these things already at the verge of being fulfilled, it's like the players are already on the field, and the event is about to begin. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. If you know anybody that's not ready, I encourage you to encourage them that Jesus is coming back soon. It's such a simple thing to accept the simple message that Jesus died for their sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. They need to hear it, they need to accept it, so they can have the eternal life that Jesus died for them to have. Let's tell the world. Amen? Amen? He said this would be spread throughout the world. Some of you can remember back when the radio was a big deal. I mean, it was the big electronic item. And everybody wanted a radio in their home. And then everybody wanted a radio in their car. And then television came along in about the late 50s and early 60s, and everybody wanted a television. And the message was getting out through the radio, and then it was getting out even better through the television. And And then in the early 2000s, they came out with these PCs. And everybody had to have a personal computer. And the gospel is on personal computers. The people even listening to me today by way of personal computers at home. And God is making it where the gospel can be spread around the world. But that's not even enough. Next, we have the smartphone. And there's one in almost every pocket of every person around the world. And they can read the gospel. They can watch videos of the gospel being preached. And God is making sure that everything is in place for this gospel to be preached to every person, every tribe, every nation in all the world. It's going to happen. And we need to be ready. Amen. Stand with me as we close.